Hey, special educators, I'm Jennifer from Positively Learning. Welcome to the Special Educators Resource Room. If you're like me, you're always looking for ways to save time and streamline your work. That's why this podcast was created, to give you the systems and solutions you need to get your time back. Tune in for tips, tricks, and tools that will help you manage your workload and make the most of your time. Whether you're brand new or experienced, all are welcome in the Special Educators Resource Room. How do you choose the right supplementary resources for your students? Hey, Special Educators, it's Jennifer from Positively Learning. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have you ever been in a position where you were making the choice on what supplementary resources your students would be working with? I'm sure the answer is yes. We've all been there probably many times. In this episode, I want to talk about things to look for and the criteria I used to find those just right resources. It's not going to be an episode where I am giving a sales pitch, and we're also not going to be talking about prices or who's paying for it, but instead, what criteria you can use and apply so you can find just what your students need. Who am I to be giving any of these tips? Well, my own background is pretty varied. There were many years where I didn't have access to a curriculum, so I was always on the search. This was both pre-Common Core and post-Common Core. I don't know if you were teaching back then, but when we adopted Common Core standards, there were no resources out there. I really think that's when TPT just blew up, because people were so smart and putting resources up there and we were grabbing them. I've also taught with some big box curriculums. Some were great, some were not great, and I have sat on committees that chose curriculum. So one of them was for the whole school, and another was to choose a intervention program for special education. So I have a pretty varied background and I've learned a lot along the way. Let's start with a definition. What are supplementary resources and why would we use them? Supplementary materials are not just add-ons, but instead they can be a very important tool, like a bridge students can use to access the core curriculum. They can be aligned directly with students' IEP goals and objectives. They also can just be fun, which increases student engagement. I was always looking for supplementary resources that I could use in small groups. I pulled reading intervention and math groups every day. I also looked for behavior resources that could support my students, like visuals, things that could increase their independence in the resource room, and tons of practice materials. I found that I had many students who just needed more time with a skill, both learning and then practicing, applying what they've learned, and then continuing to practice to grow in independence. So this may look like a very similar resource that comes in so many different themes, like a bundle of themes, but the resource remains the same. That way my students are still engaged. They aren't possibly realizing that we're working on the same skill because it looks different and there's different pictures and different visuals. I found that those types of resources really helped support my students. Now, over the years, I have found some gems. I have also found some that did not work well. So here's the criteria that I fine-tuned along the way to find exactly what my students need. All of this information will also be in a blog post. The blog post has even more details in it, so you want to be sure to check it out. I'll put the link in the show notes and you can read more about this criteria. All right, number one. This is going to sound so simple, but it's so important. Does the supplementary resource align with the goals that we have for our students? Whether that's aligning with core curriculum or student IEP goals and objectives or whatever the intention is. I'm often searching online. I usually go to Teachers Pay Teachers first, but I might Google and that might take me to a blog post, maybe a membership, whether I have free access or it's paid. And I can often knock out about 75% of the results because they aren't aligned with this goal. They might be outstanding resources, but if I can't easily give it a yes or a no, if it aligns or not, out it goes because I just don't have extra time. Now let's take that 25% and add another layer or another filter. And this is going to be considering our students' learning preferences and engagement. You know your students best. You know what's going to work well in your classroom. Is it going to be overstimulating? Is it not going to be interesting enough? You know best. So that's going to whittle away many of these results and I'm left with a smaller amount. The third filter is just as important as the first two, and that is the accessibility of the resource. Is it user-friendly for students? And you know best, and our students have all different needs, so you have to look at the resource with many different lenses. Is the font choice appropriate? Can students navigate the resource? Is there extra distractions? Are there borders? Does the border help, or does the border distract? Thinking about all of these different things, I have a quick anecdote. I had an awesome resource. Content was great, but it used really cute font and it was centered. So it was a writing resource and it was for first grade and the resource looked very nice on the paper. And somehow I had enlarged it or something like that, but I had it presented so my students could access it as a model. And I had a student who worked so hard on her writing. I mean, really hard. I was so impressed and she was so proud of herself. She presented it to me and it was all center margined, the writing, which is completely incorrect, right? So I looked at the model I had given her and I felt terrible. It was on me. I presented an incorrect model for her to use for writing. And she worked so hard. And you know how it's harder to undo than to learn for the first time. I never forgot that lesson. It was a tough lesson. I was going for vanity. It was a really beautiful resource I purchased. And it was actually doing the opposite with my students. So don't be me. A quick recap when you're choosing the right supplementary resources for your students. It needs to be aligned to your goal. You'll want to consider your students' interests and learning preferences, and you want to make sure it's as accessible as possible, including appropriate font choice, color and contrast between the text and the background, making sure all students can access the information. Imagery like clip art should be relevant and supportive, reduce distractions on the page. And one last important note is consistency. I touched on this a little bit in episode 65 when I talked about using consistency in student resources like task boxes. I think it is so important to maintain consistency. For example, if students are using a functional visual, say it's a sound wall, then the student resources that they are interacting with should have a very similar supportive visual. It shouldn't be something completely different. If they are used to a certain type of student visual directions, like I mentioned in the episode about task boxes, if I can maintain that consistency throughout all of the task boxes they use, that's supporting our goal of having our students be independent when they're using these resources. This consistency is definitely important when we consider collecting data through performance tasks. For example, I had students who were working on a specific skill and they needed more time on the skill, more practice. That's a little tricky though, because maybe we had a task box and they did the task box and it was memorized and they weren't getting more practice on it because they already knew those answers. So I needed to find parallel tasks or task boxes that had the same skill over and over and over again, but I could make it look a little different. Maybe one was for fall and the other was for winter, or one had ocean and the other one had zoo animals. Whatever you can do to make it a little bit different. Students were interacting with the same task. There's the consistency, but they didn't necessarily know that because it looked different to them. That was really important for student resources that I was looking at, because if I'm collecting a data point and it's a completely different task each and every time, what am I really collecting a data point on? Is it the skill or is it my student's ability to follow the directions of that task? Keeping this in mind, when I'm looking at supplementary resources, I tend to not do a lot of the freebies because it's like a one-hit wonder. Unless it's a freebie that I can look past it and see, oh, this is from a bundle. Because I know if I find something that's going to be just right for students, I want more of it. I want that consistency. That was one of my biggest struggles my first few years of teaching. I didn't know exactly what was going to work for my students. So I was downloading a little bit of everything, all of the freebies, all of the dollar sales. And I ended up with so much to sift through. That brought a lot of clutter and a lot of decision fatigue. So don't be me. And if I could go back in time, I would look at those freebies and those dollar sales and just see past them. Oh, is this freebie from a larger bundle? That's great. I will try the freebie. I'll get some feedback, see if it works, and then I'll know if it does, I can go back and provide that consistency. Same thing with those dollar sales. So I hope this was helpful to you. I definitely recommend hopping over to the blog post where I've written out a few more details about what I would use as criteria when choosing supplementary resources for your students. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week in the Special Educators Resource Room. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'm dying to ask, what'd you think? Be sure to hit the follow or subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. You can find the show notes and links for everything mentioned in this episode at positivelylearningblog.com. See you next week for more special education solutions.